All right, so one common objection to presuppositional apologetics is that it represents an argument in a circle. And so the objector says,
it's circular, right? How can you assume what you're trying to prove, right? Right. That's a circular argument. Right?
Bible is the word of God. Because it says it's the word of God, therefore it's the word of God. There we go. That's all you Christians do is just go, well, I believe this book, therefore it says to believe the book, and therefore you believe the book. You haven't moved the needle anywhere. And so the one objector says it has no real power to persuade anyone. No one's been persuaded by that at all, except for all the people who have. Anyone who is not already persuaded. Frame handles this objection at greater length in the book, and I think he does a decent job from what I've read on it. But I may say a brief word here. This is Porthoris, is that this picture of a circle of presuppositional apologetics is a misunderstanding, and it's probably one presuppositionalism. Once you understand presuppositionalism, the circularity argument against it should be probably the very first thing that you learn once you get a good grasp on what presuppositionalism is.
Right. And so Porthoris here says that on one hand, everyone has a kind of circle in that no one, as the point he's made earlier, is religiously neutral, right? People with other basic commitments like to reason or to pleasure have their beliefs influenced by their commitments. That's just the nature of the case. And so we ought to acknowledge the existence of these circles, which everybody has them, rather than try to ignore them. Given that the circles exist, then he tells us we can still present evidence and arguments, right? Just as the apostles did.
Right.
And so when everybody has these commitments, we all have circles, as it were, right? We're all in, we can still present arguments and evidence. This is the point he's trying to make.
Yeah. And for more on that discussion, if you can't wait for us to get into Frame's argument, you can go back to our last book, and we talked a little bit at length in there about that as well. All right, so religiously neutrality is a mirage. It's a mirage that never existed in our life. And so why should we pretend in apologetics that is an ideal that an unbeliever should emulate and that we ourselves should temporarily emulate for the sake of the dialogue? It is disloyalty to Christ to pretend the desire for neutrality is a good thing. Well, is abortion right or wrong? Well, you know, I'm just kind of there. I don't know. Well, aren't you a Christian? Well, yeah, but like, you know, it's a thing, and I'm just there. We wouldn't accept neutrality there because we know Christianity talks about things like murder of the innocent, protection of children. And so to play the middle of the road in that argumentation is similarly here when you say, well, you know, all of reality is dependent on something, but it might not be God. Well, but aren't you a Christian? Don't you believe that it's dependent on God fully and everything? Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, but maybe not. So really. And so that's the type of thinking that we don't really actually bring to the table. It's something that we kind of try and maybe convince ourselves this is the way that it should happen because this is how I believe science happens or how I believe debate happens. But that's not at all what we see in reality. And it's not something we're told to do. And it's not something we should actually believe or might not be Christians in general if we take that path.
And so he goes on to say that talk about the centrality of the Bible in human living, right? The Bible's picture of a proper human living is radically different from the world's picture. And the difference occurs already at a very basic level, namely over the question of the independence of human thinking and the independence of human decision making, right? And so that's the key issue here that he wants us to see. So he wants us to approach the question of the independence, this independence of thinking and decision-making, considering how the Bible describes the place that verbal communication from God plays in human living.
From the Reformers is going back to Advantes, going back to the sources, going back to not what this teacher said about this teacher who said about this teacher. It's going back to the ultimate standard and knowing from the ultimate standard what our commitments are. God created human beings in the beginning with this process of verbal communication already in view. We were created by God to have continual communication with him. We falsify what we are able, what we are as creatures when we attempt to just work out the truth independently. So this is something revealed to us as the exact opposite of the way that we are told to operate. We're told not to be independent of ourselves, in and of ourselves. We're told to be dependent on God, on Christ, because that's ultimately who created us. It's who created the world, and it's who ultimately saves us alone.
Right. And so the point he's trying to make here is that this idea of, well, we're independent and we can work out the truth on our own and we don't need God. He says, no. We were created by God to communicate with God, with others, and to have a relationship with God. And so working out things independently isn't the way that God intended us to do as a creation. And he calls this the disastrous fruit of independence, right? The Bible includes some instances of human beings attempting the alternative strategy of working independently of God. And who is that? Well, the history of the alternative, this working independent of God, starts in the Garden of Eden. Right. Adam and Eve decide to make up their minds for themselves independent of God. Right. And they're thinking about the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, we know where that landed them. Right. Right. And so, because God created us so that we would communicate with him. That's part of who we are in terms of having the image of God. And so just saying, well, I can just work out everything independently without reference to God is a way to get in trouble really quick, as we saw with our first parents.
Mm-hmm.